Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. This is my story. This is my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, you're mighty. Lord, you're holy. Lord, you're great. You're great to be praised. We honor you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we thank you for what you're doing, what you're going to do. I bless your name today as we, Lord God, are coming on Wednesday midweek Bible study. We honor you as the King, the Lord God Almighty. In the heavens, mighty in the earth, you are awesome. You are powerful. You are mighty. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you thanks. You are the holy God. You are the God that we worship. You are the God that we praise. You are the God that we honor. We honor your name. We honor you. Hallelujah. We honor your presence. You are worthy. You are worthy to be praised. This is the day that you've made. We are rejoicing. We are glad in it. We are grateful that you allowed us to be in it with you, oh God. Oh, Lord, I thank you that no matter where we are, you are with us. You are omnipresent. You are everywhere, in every continent, every day. Oh, God, we give you glory. We give you praise. We give you thanks today for what you're doing, what you're about to do, what you've done already. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah to the King of Kings, the Almighty God. We say hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen. You are King, you are Lord, you are Shepherd, you are the mighty great I am. None can compare to your greatness. None can compare to how awesome you are, how powerful you are. You created the moon, the stars. Hallelujah. You created human beings. You gave us a whole garden to live in. And, Father, we repent for messing up, putting pollution in the air, in the ocean. Forgive us, oh God, that we messed up the garden that you gave us. Lord, cleanse it. Cleanse our garden. Cleanse the land. Cleanse the land. We are your people. Called by your name. Oh, yeah, we are your people. Hallelujah. We come today to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We say thank you, Lord. Father, we are your people. We are called by your name. Your name is great. Your name is holy. You are omnipotent. You are omnipresent. What a great name you have. We come to humble ourselves before you today. We come to pray. We come in to seek your face, oh God. Your face, oh God. We, oh God, have turned from our wicked ways. And we thank you that you are hearing us from heaven right now. I thank you, Lord God, that you will forgive our sins. All the sins, the abominations, the iniquities, every error, every transgression, every trespass, everything, presumptuous sins, you will forgive us. Thank you, Lord God, that you have forgiven us and you will heal our land. We thank you that our land is healed. Lord, we give you all the praise because, Lord, many cities were hit by Hurricane Ian. But, Lord, you spared Jacksonville, Florida. We thank you that Jacksonville belonged to you, Lord Jesus. We thank you that your eyes are open. Your ears are attentive to the prayer that we are making right now in this place, in the place where we are. There's no place that you are not. We thank you that you have chosen and sanctified our homes, our temples where we live. We thank you, Lord God, that your name will be in us and on us forever. We thank you, Lord God, that you are in our hearts and we're in your hearts all the time, never, 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 never stopping. In the name of Jesus, we give you glory, praise, and thanksgiving. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Hallelujah. You are a magnificent God. You are awesome King. Oh, my God, we don't have enough human words to describe your greatness. We know that you're great, but, Lord, if we only had the words, hallelujah, we wouldn't, oh, my God, we would never stop praising you. We would never stop honoring you. We would go on. And, Father, we thank you as we bow down like the angels saying, hallelujah, hallelujah to the King of Kings. Well, welcome to Wednesday Midweek Bible Study. We're having a good time over here in Jacksonville, Florida. And I know you're having a good time in Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia. Oh, yeah, Louisiana. No matter where you are, we all having a good time praising the Lord. We ain't in the world. We're not even of this world. We are from another place. Yes, indeed. Thank you, Jesus. So today is October the 5th, 2022. Our scripture today is taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 7. All the labor of man, that's human beings, all the labor of human beings is for his mouth, for our mouth. Yet the appetite can't be filled. You know, at night, you know, late at night, we're thinking about what we're going to have for breakfast. And then, you know, when breakfast, while we even fixing breakfast, eating breakfast, we think about, let me see what we're going to have for lunch. We ain't never satisfied. Then we think about what we're going to have for supper. We ain't never satisfied. Then at supper, we think about what we're going to have for a midnight snack. And it goes on and on and on. And we never are satisfied. Our appetites are never satisfied. We say, well, let me see. I think I'll order pizza. No, I'm going to make me a sloppy joe. No, I'm going to fix me a roasted chicken. No, I'm having collard greens, cornbread. No. I think I'm going to have some cabbage. You know, we ain't never satisfied. We cannot satisfy our human appetite. We're always wanting more and more and more and more and more. We're never satisfied. So today we say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for his goodness. Praise the Lord for his mercy. Praise the Lord for the food that he made for us. You know that food like Daniel and his friends ate? You know, they ate pulse. That's what we should be eating. The good of the land. That's what we should be eating. Yeah. We got to eat pulse. So we say, deliver us, O Lord God, from the evil person. Preserve us from the violent man, which imagines mischief in their heart. But, Lord, we come to cry out to you. We come to praise you. We come to honor you. We come to give you glory. We extol you, O God. You are the King. We bless you. We bless your name. And so, Father, we don't have enough words to acknowledge your greatness, acknowledge your holiness, acknowledge your magnificence. But we know you're greater than we ever thought or imagined. Every day you show your greatness. Every day you show up. Every day you are faithful. It's us who are not always faithful to you. Forgive us, Lord. Cleanse us, Lord. Oh, yeah. Help us, Lord. Today. Oh, yeah, you are right on time, right on time. On time to praise the Lord, on time to call on his name. We bless our God. We bless our God. Yeah, the angels are shouting, hallelujah. And we're shouting too, hallelujah, to the Almighty God. Well, I don't know if Sister Lanny's up to singing today. Sister Lanny, good afternoon. Are you up to singing today?
Well, I haven't heard my voice since last week, and perhaps it's a good time to, I won't say testimony, but go in Jesus' name, and I'll finish the song that you started a few minutes ago.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank
thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, because you've been so good. Oh, you've been so good. Oh, God, you've been so good. My heart simply says, I just want to say thank you, Lord. Now have your, Lord, have your way. You, Lord, you have your way. All of our trust is in you, Father. Have your way. Oh, I just want to say, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Oh, that was beautiful. Thank you so much. Thank God for giving you the strength.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, thank God we don't look like what we've been through, but he's faithful. He's a healer, Jehovah Rapha. He's a healer. He said, above all things, that we prosper in health, even as our soul prospers. So we are prospered in health, and in our soul is prospering. Thank you so much for bringing forth that song. We got every day, no matter what, in everything, give thanks. This is the will of God. We thank God. We have Sister Mary Nichols on with us from Oklahoma City. Are you singing today, Sister Mary Nichols?
Okay. I just love Sister Mary's song. Thank you. That was beautiful. Yes. Got it. Amazing grace. Shall always be my song of praise. For grace has brought my lips to me. I do not know just why he came. To love me so, he looked beyond my thoughts and saw mine. I shall forever lift my heart to come of thee. I should have. Sorry about that.
He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's a blessing. He's blessing us. He's blessing us every day. Oh, yeah, he satisfies our mouth with good things. Yes, he does. He's good. Thank you all so much. I thank God for each of you coming on today on Wednesday midweek Bible Bible study today. And you know what? God is still on the throne. I thank God for Jesus who sit on the right hand of the Father. He's calling out our name. Yes, and Lord, we thank you so much for Sister Lanny, your daughter. We thank you for touching her body inside out, removing every virus, every germ. We thank you that she's totally healed. And I thank you, Lord God, for healing every part of her body inside out. Thank you for her strength in the name of Jesus. Thank you for everything you're doing on her behalf in Jesus' name. Touch her voice box, her larynx, every part, any chest congestion, fever. We say go in Jesus' name. And she is healed already. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We call it from the spirit into the natural. And she is healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We thank God for you today. I'm going to ask Sister Marion from Florida, if she would pray for Floridians that were affected by Hurricane Ian.
Thank you. Heavenly Father, I come before you this morning on no strength of my own. Right now, Lord God, I pray right now in your son Jesus' name that you look down on all of the people in Florida, Lord God, that had damage from Hurricane Ian, Lord God. I know firsthand, Lord God, how stressful it can be, Lord God. I know how people need help afterwards, Lord God. We need to come together to support all of all of them that had damage in the state of Florida right now, Lord God. I know they're depressed right now, Lord God, so I want to pray for them, Lord God. Do you move in a depressed spirit? Let them know, God, that you're going to take them through this, that this too shall pass right now in the name of Jesus. I'm praying that you bind us all together on one accord with love right now, Lord God. And I pray that each and every one of you will continue to pray right now, Lord God. And if you could donate, Lord God, to the Red Cross that's helping them right now, Lord God, I pray that we do that also, Lord God. Strengthen them on every side right now, Lord God. Let them know that everything that they lost right now, Lord God, that you can replace it better than it was before. And I'm praying right now, Lord God, that you lift them up, Lord God. Lift them up, Lord God, and just help them to stay positive, Lord God. Let them know that you said you would never leave them nor forsake them, Lord God. Continue to help them, Lord God. Continue to send people, agencies, to help them right now, Lord God. And let them know right now, Lord God, that you will bring them through this. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Awesome. Thank God for you. Thank God for the prayers of the righteous. He hears our prayers now. He hears prayers. So we've got to continually press forward, continually call on his name. Sometimes it may feel like you're talking to the air. Like, God, are you there? Lord, I don't feel your presence. But guess what? He don't leave us. He don't forsake. His presence is always there. Yeah. Like that song said, reach out and touch somebody's hand. Reach out and touch the Father. He's there, always available, never leaving you, never forsaking you. Well, it is scripture search time. Your Bible ready. Thank God for each of you all today. Thank God for what he's doing in each of his children. You know, he does great. Oh, yeah. We are his inheritance. He does great, great things. Well, you know how we do it. You state your name. You read your scripture. And tell us where it's found. All right. The first is vanity of vanity, saith the Lord. Preacher, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Where is that found? Take your name and read it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Where is that found? Tell us where it's found and read it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Where's that from? Somebody, anybody, everybody can find it. Tell us where it's from.
Sister Laney, Ecclesiastes, the first chapter and the second verse. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity.
Amen. Thank you so much. All right, number two. I said in my heart, go to now. I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. I said in my heart, go to now. I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. Where is that found? State your name. Read the scripture. Read the verse. I said in my heart, go to now. I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity.
Sister Marion, Ecclesiastic 2:1. I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity.
Amen. Excellent. Thank God for you all. I thank God for Bible searchers. Yep, we gotta search the word. Hallelujah. Okay, next one. Go in, all the people, even of all that have been before them. They also that come after shall not rejoice in him. Surely, this also is vanity and vexation of spirit. Where is that found? State your name and read it. There is no end, all people, even of all that have been before them. They all that come after shall not rejoice in him. Surely, this also is vanity and vexation of spirit. Where is that from?
Sister Marion.
Okay.
Sister Marion. And Ecclesiastic 4, chapter 16. There is no end of all the people, even of all that have been before them, they also that come after shall not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity and vexation.
So much. You all are right on time with the scriptures. All right, a couple of more. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth and therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart. Put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. Tell the scripture, the book, chapter, and verse, and read it. Therefore, sorrow from thy and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. Where is that found? Book 2, verse.
Sister Laney, Ecclesiastes 11:10, therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh. For youth and the dawn of life are, let's see.
All right. Thank you so much. Amen. We got one more. And this one says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Where is that found? Book, chapter, and verse. This I say, therefore, and testify of the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Where is that found? This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Where is that found?
Sister Laney, Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind.
Amen. Thank you so much. Amen, amen. That is correct. You all did an awesome job, as usual, searching the scriptures. That's what the Lord says. Search the scriptures. See if you be in the scriptures. See if we, you know, doing what we're supposed to be doing. We got to do those things that we are called to do of the Lord. He's calling us to do great things in today. You know, I'm going to need some scripture readers to. So, I'm going to ask you if you read. Your sister Laney, can you read Proverbs 16:26? That's the first one I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you two or three.
Yes, ma'am.
Proverbs 16:23. All right, the next one is 3 John 2.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one right now is 2 Corinthians 9:10. 2 Corinthians 9:10. And Sister
yes.
Mary Nichols. I'm sorry, do you have all of them, Sister Laney? You want me to repeat them?
Proverbs 16:23, 3 John 2, 2 Corinthians 9:10.
Excellent. Good job. Sister Mary Nichols, you there? Sister Mary. Maybe she's on mute. Sister Mary Nichols. Okay.
I am here, but I can't seem to get off of mute.
All right. Well, why don't you stay off mute? Don't go on mute. All right.
Well,
Sister Mary, you got your paper and pen ready? Hello? Sister Mary. Sister Mary. Hello? I hear you, but can you hear me?
I can hear you. I just can't get off of mute.
But stay off mute. Don't put it back on mute anymore.
I won't, but I have to get off of it, I think.
No, you're already off of it.
I can hear you.
Yeah, you're off mute. You're not on mute
anymore. Oh, okay, good. All right.
I want to get, but don't put your phone on mute anymore. All right.
Oh, okay.
So scripture is, I need you to read scriptures. Ephesians 4:15.
Okay.
Okay, the next one. Colossians 1:10. Colossians 1, verse 10.
Yes.
The next, Colossians 1:9. Colossians 1 and 9.
Okay.
All right. Don't go on mute anymore. All right.
All
Sister
right.
Mary.
I don't know what was wrong. Thank you.
That's okay. Right. Sister Marion, can you read 1 Timothy 4:7-8? 1 Timothy 4:7-8.
Okay.
All right, the next one is 1 Thessalonians 3:12. 1 Thessalonians 3:12.
Okay.
Okay, Sister Mary, 1 Peter 2:2.
Okay.
All right, I need me to go over the scriptures I gave them. All right. Okay. So you can leave your phones off mute today if you don't mind. Unless you, you know, got some unless you're cooking on the stove, but you know, you got a hammer and nail going on. All right. What is appetite? Appetite, a natural desire to satisfy your bodily needs, especially for food. A strong desire or liking of something. What is man that you are mindful of him, Lord? What appetite are you satisfying? That's my message title. What appetite are you satisfying? Your physical or spiritual appetite? What appetite are you satisfying? Ecclesiastes 6:7 says, all the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet his appetite is not filled. Everything people work so hard for goes into their mouths, but their appetites are never satisfied. All man's labor is for his stomach, his mouth, yet his appetite is never satisfied. What is appetite? It's a natural desire to satisfy your bodily needs, especially for food. You know, as I said a little while earlier, oh, you know, at night, you say, oh, my God, what am I for breakfast this morning? And then when you're eating breakfast, she said, what am I going to eat for lunch? We never satisfied. We always looking for what's next to eat. Then after you eat breakfast, lunch, you say, wow, let me see for supper. Now, let me see what I'm going to do for supper. Oh, yeah, I think I'm going to eat that. I'm going to eat this. Our appetites are never satisfied. Then at supper, we're thinking about our midnight snack. We think, oh, yeah, I got this in there in the refrigerator. Oh, yeah, I can eat this in the cabinet. So whatever it is, our appetites are never satisfied. All right, the scripture, Proverbs 16:26.
Proverbs 16:26. Okay. He that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him.
All right, thank you. It is for food and rain. What more others have, know we. It is all for our mouth. Meats are but for the belly, and the belly for meals. Meats are for the belly, and the belly for meals. There is nothing for the head and the heart, nothing to nourish and enrich the soul. All right, Sister Lanny, 3 John 2.
3 John and 2. Amen. 3 John and 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers.
Amen. Now he said, listen, he wish above all things. That's everything. That's above food. That's above clothes. He wished that our soul would prosper. We're trying to figure out breakfast, lunch, dinner, midnight snack, in between, you know, all of those junk foods. You know, we'll be trying to figure out what's our appetite calling for. We'll be trying to figure out what our body needs, what our soul needs. We'll be trying to think what appetite is calling for. Our appetite get us in trouble. But guess what? We got to have spiritual growth. Remember, beloved above all things, I wish that you be in health even as your soul prospers. So our soul is prospering, but what about, you know, our bodies are prospering from, you know, want of food. But what about our soul? Are we feeding our soul? All right, Sister Lanny, Corinthians.
Second Corinthians 9:10. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness.
Amen. So we got growth in fruitful spirit. Growth is just as important for our spirit as is even more important than for our food. You know, eventually, we're not going to need no food because we're going to have a glorified body. And we don't need a glorified body to eat. We're always full. Full of the Lord. Full of the Lord. Full of his blessings. Find our physical appetite or our spiritual appetite. You know, that's one thing about Jesus. He wasn't worried about his physical appetite. Many days he fasted. You remember when he fasted 40 days and 40 nights? We've been trying to fix fast 40 seconds, 40 minutes, 40 hours. He fasted 40 days, 40 nights. Can you imagine? I'd have to put a little lock. Oh, my God. I had to put a lock on the refrigerator. I'm like, no, a lock on the pan. No, I'll be trying to figure out, wait a minute, what I got in there to eat? Let me see what I should eat. And then, you know, sometimes the Lord say, don't eat that. I'm like, listen, don't eat that. Don't let me. I learned. Jesus learned obedience to the things he suffered. That's how I learned. God tell me one time, he said, listen,
don't eat that. And I'm like, but Lord, I'm hungry. I ain't know what else to eat, right? So I ate that. Oh, my God. I had the most excruciating stomach ache from being disobedient. I said, Lord, help me, Jesus. Help me to obey you, Lord God. So it's really more important, you know, our spiritual growth than our physical growth, our physical appetite. We can't ever satisfy our physical appetite. We can always be wanting something. And sometimes it's not just food. Sometimes we say, oh, my God, I saw that hat over there. Let me go get that hat. Wait a minute, it's going to get cold. You know, we try to, you know, we try to justify why we need this or why we need that. We don't really need it. We got about 50 hats in the closet. We're trying to figure out one more. We got 95 pairs of shoes, and we say, oh, one more. Let me see. Let me count. Make it to 100 pairs of shoes. We got a million purses, and we say, oh, yeah, one more. Oh, that's not going to hurt me. We are never satisfied, and especially our tongue, our mouth. We go like, I had pizza. I'm tired of that. Now, let me have a po' boy. I'm sick of po' boy. Let me have some jambalaya. Now, what about some black-eyed peas and rice? Wait a minute now. I'm sick of that, too. Let me have some sausage and red beans. Look, whatever it is, we're never satisfied. We go in the grocery store. We have a list. Yeah, I'm going to stick to my list today. And then you look over there. You go like, wow. Yeah, the chocolate candy is calling me. Oh, yeah. Look here. Those cookies, they're calling me. Oh, wow. That pound cake got my name on it. We've been trying to figure out how to satisfy the appetite in it. It ain't never satisfied. We say, oh, I'm going to stick to my diet. I'm going to stick to my grocery list. I don't know when I've done it. Don't tell. I'm going to stick to it. All right, Sister Mary Nichols, Ephesians 4:15.
Well, just a minute. Ephesians 4:15. The page move. All right. Ephesians 4, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, we got to speak the truth in love, but we got to know how to do it in love. You like, you love that person, but you say, what? That's not in love. We gotta grow up in all things. In all things. Christ, we got to grow. We have to grow spiritually. Physically, we're growing. I mean, I see homeless people every day, but they don't look like they're hungry. Some of them don't look hungry at all. But, you know, they got plenty of flesh on their bones. So, hey, but we got to feed spiritually. You know, the Lord went about doing good every day. Remember the however many, 5,000 people? The apostle said, well, there's only one child here that's got a lunch. He said, what are we going to do? We got to feed all these people. You know, people, their appetite is never satisfied. So you know those people have been there a long time. Jesus was just giving the word that God gave him. He wasn't thinking about food, but they were. He said, one boy here. He said, don't worry. I got to take care of. He prayed over. They had 12 baskets of food from one boy's lunch, 5 fish and 2 pieces of bread. 12 baskets left over when Jesus got to pray. So if you need something, you better pray. Say, Lord, I need you to open the windows of heaven for me today. My cupboard is low, whatever it is. Sister Mary, Colossians 1:10.
So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God.
Amen, amen. Go ahead and do 9, the next one that I gave.
For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. He said, for this reason now, you listen, you got plenty of reason, but this is the reason. right here, this is the reason I'm telling you. We have not stopped praying for you. You know, sometimes you can pray for people and you go like, I'm tired of praying for them. I've been praying for them for 50 years. I done prayed that. But, you know, they never got tired of praying for people. They continually pray day, night, all the time they were praying. That's what we got to do. We can't give up praying for each other. The Bible says, pray ye one for another. We all need prayer. Some people say, I'm good. I'm like, okay. I asked some people the other day, can I pray for them as the Lord led me? I'm good. I prayed this morning. I went to church today. I did this today. Oh, yeah. I'm like, okay. Said, don't stop praying for one another. So, you know, sometimes we think we good, and we got all kind of mess going on. All kind of mess. We forget about that. So we ask you that you would live the kind of life that prove you belong to God. That's our spiritual inheritance. We got to live like God wants us to live. So the desire to be holy. We got, God say, I'm holy. I want you to be holy like me. So look up all the scriptures on holiness. You want to know how to be holy? Look up all the scriptures on holiness and read them. Study them. In-depth study. Say, Lord, I know you holy, but what that mean? What does that mean, Lord? What does holiness mean? So desire to be holy. Holy, dedicated. We get dedicated until something happens. You go like, Lord, I was counting on you. You didn't come through for me. I'm leaving you, Lord. That's how we do. Your friend disappointed you the way they acted, the way they behaved. You say, I'm leaving you. Had enough of that. I'm leaving you. But, you know, God dedicated. He's dedicated to us. Are we consecrated to the Lord? Consecrated? Do we live sacred lives? A person who is devoted to the service of God, that's a holy person, morally, spiritually excellent. Holiness requires discipline. Holiness requires discipline. If, you know, the pastor said, well, we're going to be fast the next 15 days, and we're not going to eat any chocolate. We're not going to eat any meat. We're not going to do vegetables and fruit. Are you dedicated? Can you discipline yourself enough not to, you know, to follow the instructions given, not to eat what he said not to eat or she said not to eat? Discipline is self-control. Training that requires inner strength. Now, you know, if you look around today and see who has strength, it's not just the pastors, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers that's supposed to have inner strength. Every child of God is supposed to have inner strength, that discipline. You know, I taught for 29 years in public schools, and it took 3 months to get 25, 30 kids to have self-discipline. 3 months. I mean, every day I was working on self-discipline. I don't want to be all day telling you, pick up the paper, get your pen, pencil, do this here, do that. I don't want to do that all day. I want you to know the instructions and what they are. They're on the board, but I don't want to have to remind you. No, it took me 3 months. After 3 months, I could go to the bathroom 20 minutes. I could go take a break. Come back, they are working, every one of them. So it takes work to become self-disciplined. They didn't like it. You think they like it? They like, you should go to corporal in the army. You should go. I say, baby, they go like, here come that mean lady. I'm like, baby, you ain't seen nothing yet. But, you know, we live in a society that's undisciplined. Undisciplined. You can see it on the highway. Everybody, you know, no patience. No, we don't have love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And it comes through, you know, it's not always pleasant when you get self-discipline, self-control. It's a training that requires inner strength. Spiritual disciplines are practices that are designed to lead us to a transformed life. Spiritual disciplines are practiced that are by design that can lead us to a transformed life. The purpose is to help us with our spiritual growth. What appetite are we satisfying? Are we satisfying our physical or spiritual appetite? You can't satisfy that spiritual that physical appetite. You always gonna want something. We think we need it, but it's a desire, it's a want. So in order for us to grow as disciples of Christ, we got to be disciplined. We have to have a deeper relationship with God. That requires something. If you stump your toe, oh, doctor, you got to run to the doctor. Something broke out on your nose, a little bump. Oh, I got to go to the doctor. What about discipline? Say, now, wait a minute. What can I do naturally for this right here? What can I do naturally? When I was a child, we went out to the doctor. No. I mean, sometimes the doctor came to our house either. But certain things require self-discipline. People wasn't buying all of those toxic products. No, people made their own soap. They made do with what they had. And I remember taking my mother, I had bronchitis. My mother used to make kerosene and sugar. Don't try that now. It's poisonous, the kerosene and the sugar. But it would help me to breathe better. So sometimes we could do some natural stuff. You go to the doctor, you say, oh, doctor, my left toe hurts. Okay, here, take this here. You get home, you take it a couple of days, then your right toe hurts. Then not only your right toe, your little toe hurt too. You go like, I didn't have this before. You go back again, doctor. You know, it's an endless thing, endless thing. But when you go to Dr. Jesus and you say, Jesus, you said, I can command pain to go, and you better go. Just like in Jacksonville, we commanded Hurricane Ian. Don't you dare come here. I don't know what other people are doing in other cities. I know Jacksonville belonged to Jesus. You can speak to this and that and the wind and the rains, and they will obey you. Jesus said when he walked the earth, we'll do greater things. All right, Sister Marion, 1 Timothy 4:7-8.
1 Timothy 4:7-8. But be refused profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that.
Amen, amen. Thank you. So this is what we're concentrating on, godliness. But godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of life that is good and that is and is of that which is come. Don't have anything to do with godless myths that old women like to tell. Rather, train yourself and live a godly life. Training your body helps a little, but godly living helps in every way. Godly living. You know, we could go out, we could do 50 sit-ups every day, 25 jump jacks. We could do toe touching, you know, all of that. Bodily training, we're going to get some help. But but godly living is better than training the body for, you know, trying to get, you know, like Marilyn Monroe. You know how she had a fine shape? So that's all in vain. Godly living is what we need. It's one of the, you know, promises, godly living. All right, Sister Mary, 1 Thessalonians 3:12.
And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do towards you.
Amen. loving God is supreme. It supersedes everything. The memo from your boss? No. The memo from God supersedes what your boss said. You get a memo from the church, your memo from God supersedes all of that. Loving God is supreme, and loving each other is important as well. Not just with, you know, our lips. God said, I know your heart is far from me because you give me lip service. Don't you know God know the difference when you tell your pastor, I'll be there at 6 o'clock, Pastor. 6:30 comes, say, oh, Pastor, you know I had to eat my collard greens. I was, whatever, what? I'm sorry I couldn't get there to traffic or whatever. You know excuses we give. But God wants us not to give lip service, but action, the action. Love is an action word. We must show kindness, consideration, courtesy to each other. You know, people are not teaching children those things anymore. Children today, you give them something, they forget to say thank you because they haven't been taught that. They don't know that. They haven't been taught, yes, ma'am, oh, ma'am, yes, no, thank you, please, good morning, good afternoon. We have to teach them. They're not coming, you know, already knowing these things. We have to teach them. We have to teach, you know, sometimes you got to teach grown people. You give grown people something, and they don't say thank you. They forget about you. So, Lord, have mercy. Help us. Help us, Lord, to be kind and considerate, to show consideration and courtesy towards each other. Put these into our daily practice of loving each other. Have good intentions towards each other. You know, God knows our heart. He knows that we have good intentions towards other people. That's God's second commandment, to love each other, to have growth in the Word of God. In order to love God, we got to spend time in His presence. He got to teach us how to love Him. We were not born loving God. We were born loving the world. So God has to transform us. We don't need to be conformed anymore. We need to be transformed. All you got to do is drive on the expressway, and you'll say, Lord, transformation, let it come right this second, Lord. Let him be transformed, Lord. Let him not be on my tail, Lord God. Let him not try to get over from three lanes across trying to get in the other lane, Lord, and close on me, Lord. You know, you go in the grocery store, it's maybe two of this, and they go, am I trying to grab it? And you right there put your hand on it, they go snatch it from me. You go, like, no. Help me, Jesus. All right, Sister Mary, 1 Peter 2:2.
As newborn babes, desire the secure milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby.
Amen, amen. Desire God's pure word as newborn babes. I'm telling you, you know, newborn babe, they want the milk. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they had a little baby. And I said, are you breastfeeding? No. My baby's allergic to dairy products. And I said, well, don't give it to him. But if I eat dairy, I'm not eating dairy for a month. You're not going to be feeding the baby until the baby 25. Can't you do without dairy for a few months and feed the baby what the baby needs? If your baby's allergic to dairy and you give them all this other stuff, it's not allergic to your breast milk. Yeah. I'm sorry. Did you say something fair? So do your baby not allergic to your breast milk? Go ahead, Sister Mary, go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was just laughing. It's sad.
That's okay. I know. I understand. That requires self-discipline. She didn't want to discipline herself to feed the baby what the baby needed. Now, what is that? Undisciplined life. I mean, she's a young mother, got a little boy, and this was her second child. I thought, when she said the baby's allergic to dairy, don't give it to her. But I like it. Excuse me. What? God gave me this baby. Discipline yourself not to do dairy. So the baby can, you only going to be feeding the baby, breastfeeding the baby a few months, not the whole life, not your whole life. So, common sense, good common sense. So So help our young people, Lord God. All right, go ahead, Sister Maren. First Peter, what we got next? Oh, wait, hold on. I'm sorry. You finish, Sister Maren. So the Bible says, so clean your house. Make a clean sweep of malice and pretense, envy, and hurtful talk. You've had a taste of God. Now, like infants at the breast, drink deep of God's pure kindness. Then you'll grow up and mature whole in God. You know, many of us are broken. You know, as children, we were broken. We're not whole. We got issues. So God had to make us whole through the word, through the preaching of the word, through the living of the word. You could hear word. Look, you could go to church 7 days a week. But if you're not obeying the word that's going forth, you may as well stay home and look at, what's that, Facebook all day. No, you got to live the word that you hear. When you get a prophecy, you going to live out that prophecy. You got to walk out that prophecy. Mm-mm. So don't be trying to run me. Oh, yeah, Prophet so-and-so is coming. Prophet Joe Blow, Prophet Mary Sue Jane, and you know, Alice, whatever. You try to get a prophecy, you got to live out that prophecy. Yeah, let me tell you, ladies. So Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's what we're hungering for. We ain't trying to fill our mouth, our tongue, our belly, because it ain't going to have to get satisfied. Blessed are those, Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Physical hunger, it ain't never satisfied. We can eat breakfast, lunch, supper, and in between. And we never get satisfied. We always looking for what's next. But when we hunger and thirst for God, we will be satisfied. So let's satisfy our spiritual appetite and hunger and thirst for God like never before. We got to hunger and thirst for God. Yeah, you know, we got to. I know we hunger for pizza. We hunger for chocolate cake, all of that stuff. Yeah, we be hungry. I know. Look here. I be hungry for it, but let me tell you, learn not to eat it, because I say, oh, no, this is not agreeing with me. I eat something sweet. Trust me, in a few minutes, I'll be knocked out. Can't hardly function, be exhausted, be so tired. I'm like, whew, I know what it's going to do, so why I keep on doing it? It's like, you know, rat in the maze. You just keep going round and round and round and round in circles. Hey, we know already what it's going to do. Well, I know that if I eat a grapefruit, I'm going to have knife cutting pains in my stomach. Now, some people, they can eat a whole grapefruit, but they'll bother them. But me, let me eat a grapefruit. Let me eat kiwi. I love both of them. Oh, no. Let me eat some sweets. Oh, my God. I love all those sweets, cakes and pies and stuff. Last time I did that, I had to go to the hospital. I said, no, no, no. They couldn't even find nothing, but I knew what it was. I had to do a cleanse, a fast. It ain't worth all that. Oh, my Lord, let me just be disciplined. Lord, help me. So, you know what, Saul? This is what we got to do. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? That's what we got to do. First, hunger for God, for his righteousness. Then we're going to be satisfied. Then us be satisfied. So I'm going to say amen. Anybody have any questions, comments? I know Sister Mary got so she was just, I used to tell the children, I said, what's the matter? Your giggle box got turned over. That's what happened to me in the beginning. My giggle box got turned over.
Yeah, that was good.
Sister Mary, come on.
No, I just said, that was wonderful. Thank you. I needed to hear it.
Questions, comments, insights? Anybody? Come on, y'all. We got my daughter, Michelin, on. Go ahead.
Sister Lainey, I was just thinking that the overall theme is going after God's holiness is predicated on us being able to decrease and let him increase. And our deterrent to that is vanity. When we get full of ourselves, when we think that the world revolves around us and not our God, and then we have trouble seeking after God because we've been trying to build ourselves up instead. That scripture that you gave me to read, to look up, Ephesians 4:17, this I say, therefore, in testimony of the Lord, do not walk in the vanity of their minds. In other words, we got to get past ourselves to get to God. We're so busy, like you say, with the breakfast, lunch, and dinner, just going after our appetite for other things. And then we have appetite to please people. We have appetite to our name to be called at church, appetite for people to applaud what we have, what we look like, what we drive. And what we've been talking about for several weeks is vanity. It's all vanity. That's not really important. That's not the most important thing. So I just saw that thread of, coming through that we need to make a decision that, you know, God, less of me and more of you to get to that place.
Amen. Thank you, Sister. Anybody else? Comment, questions, insight, help the Lord show you why we're talking back and forth.
Sister Marion.
Go ahead.
I think that we should abide in that scripture that said be content with what we have, but we're never content with what God has given us, because we always see somebody with something else that we feel like we need or we should have. So we should be content with what we have.
Yeah. Yes, you are. I'm always, amen. Always looking at something else. I'm like, yeah, I got this here, but I need something else. I got 100 scarves, but yeah, I need another scarf. Yeah, wait a minute. Let me see if I got it. I ain't got the scarf. Let me go get that. Do I need it? No. No. I should be trying to figure out how to satisfy the Lord instead of satisfying my appetite for whatever. Anybody else? My daughter Michelin on here. I don't know if Baby Chloe is they're singing. Baby Chloe be singing and says she be keeping her phone in the future.
Yeah.
Baby Chloe's learned to talk real good. I'm sorry, say that again.
I say, yes, ma'am, I'm here. She's in the background.
All right. You got any insights for us today?
No, but I don't have anything specific to the message for the Bible study, but I did have an experience yesterday. Just wanted to share it. Just to know that we are, you know, we get used as vessels, and sometimes things happen. We don't know why it happened. And just a quick little testimony for me. I work from home, as you know, Sister G, and I had computer issues all day yesterday. My computer screen blanked out, had issues. I call IT. So I work at the local with the local hospital, St. Vincent. And then after talking to multiple people from IT, this one lady, she called me, and she said, just bring your computer in. And then I went and brought my computer in, and within like 10, 15 minutes, the issue was fixed. But I think God was using me or using the computer for me to lead me to her, because she apparently was having a hard time. And I sit down, after my computer was fixed within like 10, 15 minutes, I sit and talk with her for another 30, 40 minutes. And she pretty much was at her breaking point. And she said, I believe that God lead me for, she said, I believe that God lead you here with your computer that was messed up in order to make a difference. So I think that was a good thing.
Yeah. And that's an awesome testimony. Praise the Lord.
Yes, and she pretty much was saying, like, she, I mean, just to give a background, she said there was some issue with the house she was renting. Septic tank is messed up, and she said she had to call the city under her landlord. Once they called the city and her landlord, they pretty much said she had to vacate the property within 24 hours. And she's like, I have nowhere to go. And then just working at the hospital at St. Vincent in the past, and I'm like, why don't you reach out to the chaplain or reach out to, I know with the nuns at the hospital at St. Vincent, sometimes they even let family, they have a safe house, they call it. I'm like, see, you work for St. Vincent's. I said, you're an employee and you're having a hard time. So I pretty much just giving her some resources and sitting there listening to her. And I think that's probably why. At first I was like fussing. I'm like, it's been a long day, computer issues after computer issues. But it finally dawned on me the whole reason everything was happening was for me to be able to go there and sit and talk to her.
Amen. So, that's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, we're fishers of. I thank God for that divine appointment that he left on.
Yeah, and I thank God for that too. And I gave her a hug and everything. I said, I'll keep you. I'll keep you in my prayers, just so hopefully that she can, find to be able to move from one space to the next. For her to be able to find her next home and everything, just to be able to get out of that position that she's in. So I was glad I was able to be used as a light, particularly even though I was having a hard time, that I could be of help to her.
Yeah. Yep. Ordered the steps of a good person. So he ordered your steps over there yesterday. And he allowed you to do what needed to be done, and he took care of your problem as well. Thank God.
Yes, ma'am. Thank God.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. We love when you come on and we talk. I know sometimes Baby Chloe's in the background, but yeah, so we thank God for being able to share today. That was an awesome testimony.
Thank you.
Anybody else? So before you have to get off, Michelin, we're going to let you pray for the baby, your own Baby Chloe, Baby Zoe, Baby Revere, and Baby Devin. We added another baby, Sister Lanny, grandmother. She had, Sister Lanny, just give her a little brief on what's going on with Baby Devin.
Yes, ma'am. Baby Devin is 16 months old. She's diagnosed with cancer in her eye, and she goes to St. Jude. She's been going for several months now. She go once a month for them to treat her eye. They see if they see growth or infection, they treat it. Every now and then, there's nothing there, but then they go back again, and then there's growth. So it's an ongoing battle for her to kill the cancer cells in her eye. Her eye has a slight discoloration, but she's a beautiful, beautiful baby. She has cancer in the eye.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead and pray. Father God, I want to thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for allowing us to be able to unite in your name. Although that it is virtually, but it's just the fact that we're able to gather in your name and spirit is what matters. And you said when two or three come together in your name, things should happen. Father God, I lift up baby Devin, first of all, in your hands. Just like Jesus healed the blind man, and he was able to see. Father God, I pray that any cancer, any vision issues, any type of deformity is gone, and he is healed in the name of Jesus. I pray that he will have a long life ahead of him, and that he'll be able to see wonders and see everything, the beautiful world that you have created, Father God. I pray for baby Revere and baby Zoe and also my daughter Chloe, Father God. You said you knew us before we were born. And each and every single one of us here, Father God, you have a purpose for us. And just like you have for those babies that some way, somehow, the devil tried to knock them out one way or another, God. But you allow each and every single one of them to make it on earth side, Father God. You allow them to be here. You have a purpose for each and every single one of their lives. Sickness may try to get in their bodies and try to disrupt the plan that you have for them, Father God. But I know ultimately your plan will prevail. Each and every single one of them are destined for greatness, and they will walk in their purpose, each and every single one of them, Father God. I pray that they are surrounded by love, by kindness, families that they have around them, create a village around them that they are able to fulfill their destiny and walk in their purpose as you have planned, Father God. I pray that every single cell, every single organ in their body is functioning as it should. In Jesus' name, Father God, we thank you. We glorify your name. We exalt your name. They are covered by the blood of Jesus, and they are covered from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. And nothing shall come of, and nothing negative shall come of them, and they will walk in their purpose. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So thank God for that awesome, powerful prayer, mother's prayers. Oh, my God. Thank you. Anointed prayers. So baby Dylan is a little girl. I don't know where she lives, but she's a little girl, and Revere is
a
little boy.
I'm sorry.
Say that again?
Devin lives in Jackson, Mississippi.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank
you.
Thank you so much. All right. We're shifting gears to homework. Who's ready for their homework? Sister Lanny, it's on you.
Yes, ma'am. I believe I had Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and the 4th and 5th verse.
Ecclesiastes,
the 4th chapter, 6th chapter, and the 4th and 5th verse. It was kind of shocking when I read different interpretations. I go to BibleHub.com to kind of see what they're saying. The King James Version, moreover, he has not seen the sun. I'm sorry, let me go back to 4. The two verses are talking about implies when a baby is born already deceased, born stillborn. His birth is meaningless. One interpretation, it ended in darkness, but he's in a better place than the one that is named because he never got a chance to struggle with life. And then verse 5 says, almost something similar. It is not seeing the sun, nor does it know it. But he's better off than those of us who have. The child never had a chance to suffer, never saw the sun, don't even know he missed it. But he's better off than those of us who are here. Because the implication is that if you live, you have to face life. And life will bring you some problems and things that you have to have a relationship with God in order to know how to triumph in the struggles that life brings. And what it was saying is that a child that's stillborn never get a chance to struggle with any of those things. That was really powerful to hear for me, and I thought that was a bit phenomenal. That's all I have to say on those verses. The concept, again, is that if you live, life will happen. And when life happens, if you don't have Christ in your life, you won't know how to face or deal with the issues that life brings. But there is victory, we know, in Christ Jesus in a relationship with him. But the baby that's stillborn never gets a chance to know any of that at all. And because he didn't have to suffer any of that, he's in a better place.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you. Awesome. Awesome. Powerful sharing. Thank you for the study. All right. Sister Mary Nichols, you have 6. Ecclesiastes 6:8-9.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Let me pull that. Ecclesiastes 6:7. So in line with what we were looking at earlier about the appetite. Thank you, Sister G, on that.
Mm-hmm.
But we often are so in tune to the appetites of our own mouth, but not of the things of God in the way that he would want us to be. So let me look here. Because I was sitting there with Ephesians 6:8. though we have many years, but we have not seen good and brought it into our lives and into our hearts. And eight says, for the wise more than the fool, and we look at the poor that knoweth how to walk before the Lord and before the living. So it's just better for us to have the desire of what the Lord wants for us rather than all of the other things in the world that would vex our spirit. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much. Amen. All right, Sister Marion, you're last. You got Ecclesiastes 6:10-12.
Yes. What I got from this verse is that that which has already been named and made was already by God is known to man already. Man should not try to contend with God, who is mightier than man. There are a lot of vain things that tempt man, but man is better. Who knoweth what and which is good for man in his life than God? And who can tell a man what should come after him under the sun? We try to overdo or do better than what we think God has done for us and God can do for us. But what I previously said is we need to be content with what we have and live our life as God blesses us. He's not going to bless you with all the things that we want, because some things we want we don't need. And God knows we don't need them, so he don't bless us with them. But we need to just be content with what God is doing in our lives. Continue to follow the path that God is leading us down.
Amen. Thank you so much. Yep. Yes, indeed. We are Ecclesiastes chapter 6 is what we've been studying. It's a powerful, powerful chapter. So I thank God, you know, for the word that went forth today. I thank God. He's doing some awesome things every day. And he said, you know, all is vanity of the spirit. So, you know, we got to continually thank God for what he's doing. And, you know, our title today was on what appetite are you satisfying, your physical appetite or your spiritual appetite? We got to satisfy, you know, our physical appetite is only for a moment. And then we want spiritual appetite is what we have to run after. We have to hunger and thirst for righteousness. So I thank God today. You know, right now, one of my friends, we've been over 40 years. Mary Johnson from New Orleans is on. I thank God for her. She and I have been like family for years and years and years and years. I thank God for Mary Johnson. We thank God for you coming on today. We are almost at the end. We've been studying about in Ecclesiastes chapter 6 today. So you're welcome to come on. Us again. We're just finishing up our homework, getting ready to pray. So I'm going to ask Sister Marion, if from Jacksonville, if you would pray for the senior citizens. I'm going to give you. You don't have to think. You know, you don't have to say their names, but I'm going to name some of them. Mother Fanny. She was affected by Hurricane Ian. Her lights were shut down. Mother Ludell. Well, in February, she'll be 102. Sister Glory Jean, Ella Brookins, Christina Campbell, Brother Riley, Dr. June Paul, and I'm just, you know, any other citizens. Of course, we are on here except for Mission and my spiritual daughter. She really the oldest one on here. We the young people. You know, I'm kidding her. Maybe Glory's mother. But anyway, if you could pray for the senior citizens that I named and then the ones I didn't name too, Sister Mary, go ahead.
Heavenly Father, I come before you right now, Lord God. I bring all of the senior citizens before you. You know them all by name and by number, Lord God. You know all that we come in need of right now, Lord God. You know all aches and pains in our bodies right now, Lord God. You know all type of diseases that we have, Lord God. You know the issues with us just getting to be senior citizens, Lord God. If we had known when we were younger that we would go through all of this when we become a senior citizen, we would have started praying earlier and given our life to you, Lord God. But I pray for all the senior citizens, those that are in the hospital, those that are in the nursing home, those that are at home right now, Lord God, that need your help, Lord God, that need your healing anointing over their bodies, Lord God. Heal your saints right now in the name of Jesus. Lift us all up right now, Lord God, so we can uplift and uplift the kingdom of God right now, Lord God. Take away all our aches and our pains right now, Lord God. Let us walk briskly right now, Lord God, as we praise you in our walk right now, Lord God, as we praise you in our talk right now, Lord God. Don't let our age hinder us, Lord God, but you show us that even in our old age, Lord God, that you can continue to use us right now, Lord God, that you can continue to help us to live a long and fruitful life right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just thank you for all of the senior citizens. Thank you for allowing all of us to be at the age that we are, because there's so many young people that are dying that don't live to be a senior citizen. And I pray, Lord God, that you just lift us up. Just continue to bless us, Lord God. Continue to praise us. We are going to continue to praise you, Lord God. We're going to give you in spite of praise right now, Lord God. In spite of how we feel right now, Lord God. We're going to still praise you. We're going to still lift you up right now, Lord God. But this is my prayer right now, Lord God, that you cover and bless all of the senior citizens right now. In your son Jesus' name, I believe the blood of Jesus over all of us right now, Lord God, that are seniors. And you continue to just bless us and keep us. For you say you would never leave us nor forsake us. So continue to bless us, Lord God, in our old age right now, Lord God. And let us be an example to the young generation so they can live a life to be a senior citizen. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. So it's about time to close out. Anybody have anything they want to share before we close up? State your name, where you're from, and tell us what you want to say.
Mary from Oklahoma. In the last week, I've had two friends my age who have lost their husbands who died, and they buried them this week. And I got a call a few minutes ago. One of my friends, her daughter's mother-in-law just passed away. You know, it's just amazing. It's joyful that these people knew the Lord. But, yes, there is such sadness that is occurring when people are losing their spouses and their mothers and all of that. So I just ask that we continue to remember all of the people who have lost a loved one, because it just seems to be more and more lately. That was all. I praise God.
Amen, amen. Anybody else? Thank you, Samira.
Yes, this is Mary Johnson from New Orleans. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Uh-huh.
Welcome.
Thank you. I was just listening. I also want to encourage all of us to stay faithful, to stay strong in the Lord, and to take each day as it comes, with him being our leader and our guidance. So I encourage everybody to, I say we're on a journey, and we don't know what's on our road as we travel down this road of life. So life is a trip. So we don't know what's on it, but we do know we must stay in God's favor and stay with God and his righteousness. So y'all continue, and God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Merrick, for coming on. Her daughter, her baby daughter, like a daughter to me. Her baby daughter is now, oh, my God, that's a mighty young woman of God. She used to come in Sunday school with me when she was a baby. But I said, Merrick, wait till she get old. Look, she was 5 months old when she started the class. I said, Mary, she getting old. Bring that baby to class. Every time she cried, her brother, her sister, her mama, her daddy, I said, let her be trained. She was 5 months old coming to class. Oh, my God, that young woman, she grew up a woman. I'm married now, got two children. So I thank God for her.
Yes.
Her name is Hope.
Yes, so Hope. That was my Hope. I had her at 42. So I was hoping.
His husband, he's gone to glory now, but I said, Brother Johnson, something wrong with my car. He said, okay, Sister Carita, I'm going to come by your house and fix it. Oh, my God. God sent him. He was my mechanic. Lord, so I thank God for her children.
Indeed.
And listen, Hope was about... I think Hope was a few, she wasn't even 5 months yet. She was walking. I said, well, maybe if I go to her house, every time I see her, she'd holler because she thought I was going to take her, right? She thought I was going to pick her up. So I'm going to her house. Maybe she was, when she was in the walk, she looked up, saw my face, started screaming. But by the time she was home, she would beg to come home. I'll go home with you, Sis Creek. I'll go home with you. I said, okay. I said, come home. She had fun. Oh, my God. She come to stay with me sometime, but that's my daughter from another mother. I thank God for her.
Yes, indeed.
Father,
and thank you for the encouragement and help for during that time with her.
Yeah. Yeah, I have many children, spiritual children, but they, oh, my God, many of them are grown. Some of them are grandmothers now. Thank God. All right, we're about ready to close
the office. All right, thank you.
Thank you for Sister Mary and your daughter. Oh, God, you know Sister Mary. You know her name, her fingerprint. You are the one that birthed into the world. And, Lord, I thank you for healing her every ache and pain. We say go in Jesus' name. We decree and declare that we are all healed of you, Lord God. You said, beloved, above all, I wish that you prosper be in health, even as your soul prospers. And everything that Sister Marion is concerned about today, Lord God, we leave it at your feet because you're able to bear the burdens of the whole world. All of our family members are blessed and highly favored. We are praying, Lord God, that you would save every family member that's not saved and all of them that are saved. Draw them closer, Lord God. Bless Sister Marion's children or grandchildren, oh God. And, Lord, I thank you for Sister Lanny from Jackson, Mississippi, where baby Devin is, Lord God. We thank you for the divine connections, oh God. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that even though she had COVID, it's gone. It's gone. We decree and declare she is healed. Many people have had COVID, but, Lord, you allow us to live past it, Lord God. So we thank you, Lord God. Nothing is impossible to you. I thank you, Lord God, even as she writes the song, play the music of the Lord, that you are downloading more songs in her to play to bless the body of Christ for healing anointing on her songs in the name of Jesus. I thank you for Sister Mary Nichols, who's a holistic coach in Oklahoma City, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for her prayer line where she prays for the school board, the teachers, the children, the families on Sunday nights, oh God. I thank you for what you're doing in her life, oh God. I thank you for her husband and her two daughters, oh God. Bless the family like never before. And, Lord, all of her friends who lost their mates, oh God, We ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to comfort and strengthen all of them. You're amazing, God. Nothing is impossible to you. You knew our names before the foundation of the earth. You said there's a time and a season for everything, a time to live, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to be joyful, a time to mourn. So, Father, we thank you that this is a time to be joyful because you're doing great things in the earth realm. I thank you for my daughter, Michelin, Lord God, and her two daughters, Chloe and Zoe, Lord God. I thank you for her husband, Eve, Lord God. I thank you for their relating to you, their relationship with you, their relationship with their children, their relationship with their families, Lord God. I thank you for the mighty woman of God who's a nurse. Oh, God, she nursed many people back to health. She looked over their plans, oh, God, and she said, wait, I found a niche right here. Wait a minute, this isn't right. I think you need to check her blood pressure. No, I think you need to check his foot. I think you need to examine this further. So, Lord, you have given her an anointing, oh, God, for healing to all people on all level, Lord God. So, Father, I thank you that you are giving her vision, keen vision, to see in the spirit, oh, God, the things that need to be done for the patients in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the divine connection that she had as she visited the hospital, Lord God, and ministered to that woman, oh, God. I thank you for hearing and answering all of our prayers. I thank you for Mary Johnson, Lord God, from New Orleans, Louisiana. I thank you for what you're doing in her and her children, her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren, even those to be born, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus for all that you're doing. In the mighty name of Jesus, all that you've done, all that you're going to do, in the mighty name of Hallelujah. We thank you today, Father, for what you're doing for Aida, your daughter, even as she has just joined us, Lord. I thank you for Aida and all of her sons. I thank you for blessing her children, her grandchildren, oh, God. Everything that she's concerned about concerns you, Lord God. So, Father, we cover all of ourselves with the blood of Jesus. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. As we close out the radio broadcast Wednesday midweek Bible study, but we will not close out from your presence, oh, God. Walk with us, be a lamp and a light to our pathway. Let the words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart be acceptable to you, O Lord. You are our strength and our redeemer in the mighty name of Jesus. I love you all so much. You know God loves you even more. Look forward to hearing from you on Tuesday when we pray for the children or before. Blessings of the Lord run you down and take you over in Jesus' name. Love y'all. Love you.
Love you.
Love you. Love you. Love you.
Love you. Love you.